All right, so that is... That's good. Slava Bogu, or praise be to God. Let me just give you two thoughts from God's Word. They will be short. I will get you out on the hour as awfully close to that as I can. Let's begin, though, with Revelation 20. Let's go back there for a minute. Revelation 20. One of the things that Brother John wanted me to preach on a couple of times there to some of the churches was just to remind the people that we all have to stand before God. And that was impressed upon me a few times as I spoke on it, I think two or three times to the various churches. But you know what? There's not many guarantees that we can give people here in life. Especially when we try to help people, you know, we can't guarantee them their health. We can't guarantee them a rich, full marriage or children or even the ability to have children. Very few things we can guarantee, but this one. Every single human being that has ever lived, is living, or will ever live, will stand before God. Now, they will stand before God at either two places. There in Revelation 20, it's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And in Revelation 20, you have those individuals whose name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it says the books are open and they're judged according to their works. There are degrees of punishment in hell. And as the verse, let me get my right verses here, I'm not quite thinking. But in the previous verses, before you get to the end of the chapter, it says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Yeah, verse 14. And death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And then as we go up a little bit further there in verse 10, this lake of fire, there's torment there forever and ever and ever and ever. Eternity, that is a mighty long time. So I think probably from the faces here, most everyone here is a believer in Jesus Christ. Meaning to that point, they've come to a place in their lives where they recognize they're a sinner who needed to be saved. There needs to be payment for sin. Then there's all kinds of options out there. There's only one true, but many espoused options of how you can get your sins atoned for. You can do it yourself. You can have some other individual do it. You can go do good works, other religions. But we've come to the point here where we believe there's only one person who can forgive our sins, and that's Jesus Christ. As He said there in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me or through me. So we believe we're a sinner, and our sins do need to be paid for, and the only way that can remove those sins is Jesus Christ. So after we have that knowledge and understanding and agreement, then we transfer the trust from self to try to get ourselves into heaven or get some institution to get us into heaven. We transfer the trust from us and others to Jesus Christ. And we plead our case before Him with the sinner's prayer. Just ask Him to be merciful, to forgive us of our sins, to save us and to give us a home in heaven. That allows us to have our names written in the book of life. So we will not be at that judgment. But there's still a judgment for us as believers. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. And again, the preceding context, Paul is talking about whether being alive or dead. And in verse 9, he says, listen, whether I'm present or absent, whether I'm living or dead, I must be pleasing to God. That is my goal. That's my ambition. That is my OCD. That is my addiction. That is what I want to strive for, that I may be pleasing to Him, in verse 9. Kind of a Scogan commentary on that a little bit. And the reason is verse 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body, whether according to what he has done, whether they be good or bad. Not bad in sense of sin, because that was paid for when we got saved. Remember, we asked God to forgive us our sins? Because your sins were forgiven, well, long before the earth was ever created. And especially when Christ died on the cross, He died for the sins of the world. So it's not like God said, oh, great, Scoven committed another sin. What am I going to do? In His foreknowledge, He knew of all my sins that I was ever going to forget. Yeah. That I was ever going to do. So when I asked Him for forgiveness, He forgave me of all my sins. Worthless has the idea here of stewardship. As Paul talks about not having His work or His grace be in vain. He's given us riches, brothers and sisters. You are sitting here today without your coats on. Did you notice how many village churches and even the Church of Consumos were sitting there without their coats on? You know why? Freezing cold. I mean, it was freezing there. I got in the cars many times and I shivered. I think the only time I've shivered this winter was over in Ukraine. They can't afford heat. So we'd sit on our hands. We'd pray. We'd hold our hands. We'd do this kind of stuff. Point I'm trying to make, though, because of time, is we've been blessed. But with that blessing, God has given us everything, and we will give an accounting for how we've lived our lives as believers. Have we frittered and wasted our resources, our time, our lives, our energies on things of the world that will not follow us to heaven, that are already consumed and gone away? The stewardship of the gospel, the stewardship of our time. Again, John was very, it rang true in his mind that last year at this time he had a stroke. And he was very confident last year saying, oh, I'm coming back next year, I'm coming back next year. Neither one of us was quite that definite in our return because, as James says, thou knowest not what day may bring forth. And we've had many funerals in our church this past year. But today, God has granted us life. What are we doing with it? All of our talents, our resources, our teaching, our singing, our musical, our brains, our technology. He has given to us all these talents. We need to be wondering and questioning, am I using them in such a way that when I stand before Him, as 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, at this judgment seat of Christ, when He evaluates, when He judges my stewardship, when He judges the way I have lived my life, will it do me well or will it not? And let me just flip over just a few more pages. 1 Corinthians 3, and that'll, and with this I will be done, I promise. And that's not another 15 minutes. I just want to read this, make a comment, and I'll be done. 1 Corinthians 3, just back up in your Bible, I don't know, 10, 15 pages. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 13. Because this judgment, which, by the way, I did not quote the first couple words of the previous chapter, chapter 5, verse 11. Within the context of that verse 11, Paul writes, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. This is not going to be an enjoyable experience at the judgment seat of Christ. And here's why. 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, his life. Okay, I was saved back in 1979-ish. 78, 79. All these years I've been a believer, it will be thrown in the fire. How well did you live, Dan? How good of a steward were you, Dan? And it goes on to say there in verse 14, if, when it's thrown in the fire, if it remains, I receive a reward. Woo-hoo. Which is kind of cool when you think about it, because how long are these rewards going to last? Forever. Wow, kind of cool. They don't break down. I don't have to fix them. I don't have to get them inspected. I don't have to insure them. I don't have to weed whack them and mow them. Believe that. March, I mowed my yard. I don't have to do any of that. I can just enjoy rewards forever. But Paul says in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:11, therefore the terror of the Lord. Let's read on a little bit. Verse 15. If anyone's work is burnt, he will suffer a loss. Yet he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. Now let me ask you a question. The rewards which I will receive, they're going to last for how long? Now, going back to an old movie, which I'm maybe not espousing, but there was an old guardian of a certain vessel, and he says, you have chosen poorly.
If we have lived our lives poorly and we suffer loss, how long is that loss going to last? That's a long time. Now, you are going to get to heaven. Paul makes that very clear. He himself will be saved. Are you going to go through eternity empty-handed? You will suffer loss. There are degrees in heaven. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't figure it out. But this verse clearly teaches rewards, plural, versus loss for eternity. So these would just be the thoughts that I shared. It was rather insightful, impactful to me, and I hope it would be for you. Because again, it's very difficult to figure. What are you going to preach to these people? Oh my goodness, 66 books. You got the whole Bible. You get one shot. What's something common that everyone can identify with? Well, we're all going to die. And we're all going to stand before God. And it doesn't matter if you're Ukrainian. It doesn't matter if you're European. It doesn't matter if you're African. God will hold us to the same standard. How did you live your life as a believer? Did you choose wisely? In other words, did you obey my instructions or not? They're right here. Did you do it or not? So with that, let's have a word of prayer. So Lord, as we come to you, let's go back to the slides. Thank you, Father. Again, there is no way that we could build that building on that property next to the river today like we did 10 years ago. That was a miracle. And it's kind of fun, Father, to have miracles in our church's history. And just that whole process is just miraculous. And we thank you for it. Father, we thank you again for just bringing our paths across. We are thankful for just seeing the church grow from just a handful of people. And some of us were there, 10 years ago? Yeah, I guess it would be 10 years ago. 2002, 2012. 10 years ago, Father, to now seeing a congregation that maybe had more in it last Sunday than we have here. We thank you for that. And just to see it going, and then to see the influences as they're going out, starting sister churches and helping village churches, and now to be involved in these addiction homes/centers is just miraculous. How we are discipling these people, training them in the ways of God. And we've got a pretty good high recovery rate there. But then it's the Holy Spirit's power doing it. And then, Father, for us, as we just see some of the conditions, as we just again were hinted at with the infrastructure of the roads, the water, the medical care, we are blessed. We give no thought to which some of these people do think about on a regular basis. But then as we also know, Father, to whom much is given, much is required. So I pray, Father, the takeaway from here for further discussion in our growth group tonight is just what does the Bema Seat of Christ mean to us? What areas maybe do we need to be a little bit more careful? What are some of the instructions that need to be a little bit more carefully followed regarding our lives and all of the ramifications of that? Father, if there is one here today who may not know you as Savior, I pray, Father, that you would let them come to us, that maybe we could even figure out or talk to them in some way and give them the knowledge they need so that they could transfer trust from themselves or other organizations or other people to you, as we have here on the banner behind you, looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for how you've been working in our church and through our church in this specific example in Ukraine. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.